It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Wednesday edition of Overtime. If you missed the early start at 10, you missed out on the big NFL news of the day, including Josh Jacobs back at Packer OTAs yesterday, contract extensions for Nick Herbig, pass rusher out in Pittsburgh, wide receiver Drake London, the receiver out there in Atlanta, and more. Also, the identity crisis taken home by Sam at the end of hour number one. We're geared up, ready to rumble into hour two, featuring your headlines, your highlights, latest news from the NBA, NHL, including a finals game one preview in the NBA on the way. Look at the odds, and then round out the show today, early show. As we exit the air at noon, making way for Twins pregame coverage, we're talking Timberwolves with Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves, previewing the offseason, talking about the free agency, the market for Io DeSunmu, and more. And Anthony Edwards, next 5 years, what needs to happen for him and the T-Wolves, that marriage to lead to an NBA title. We'll dive into all of that. Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves will join us right around 11:40. Let's get right to it, though. NBA Finals are ahead of us. Vince Goodwill talking about the questionable tag for Mitchell Robinson of the New York Knicks. They will visit the Spurs tonight, 7:30 on ABC. Will Mitchell Robinson play? That's a big question.
We know that he's going to play. Like, the Knicks are doing a little subterfuge by saying he's officially listed as questionable. But everything that we've heard says that he's going to play. How effective will he be remains to be seen following a surgery like that, whether it's a pinky, a hand, or whatever it was. Like, the Knicks actually allowed us to see Mitchell Robinson practice yesterday. And I think that gives us a little bit of glimpse into how confident they are. Remember, guy plays 15 minutes a night, and there is so much weight on how important he is, whether that's because he's on the offensive glass or he's the Victor Wembanyama defender. Like, they feel like they need to have all hands on deck, and this is not a minor thing for the Knicks or for Mitchell Robinson.
Knicks and the Spurs, game one from San Antonio tonight, 7:30 on ABC. Spurs are favored by 4.5 points. You can listen to tonight's game right here on ESPN Radio as well. Coverage beginning at 6:30. Now, don't bet against Jalen Brunson, according to Brian Windhorst.
In the last round and the round before that, it was easier for Jalen Brunson to hunt the weakest defender. We saw him absolutely torch James Harden in the last round. The Spurs don't have a weak perimeter defender, and that's why they have been in this spot. They have been a top defense all year long, so Brunson won't be able to pick his battle as successfully. But look, anybody who has wagered against Jalen Brunson, either this season or in his career, has ended up on the wrong side. Brunson knows the battle ahead of him. He knows it's going to be a team effort, and he knows he's got some weapons too. So that is going to be where the rubber meets the road, though, in this series. Can Jalen Brunson get unlocked in ways that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, frankly, wasn't very much able to?
That's Brian Windhorst. Tonight's game one, Knicks and the Spurs, 7:30 on ABC. Coverage here on ESPN Radio begins at 6:30. Spurs favored by 4.5. You know, Vegas was a sizable underdog on the road in Raleigh last night against the Carolina Hurricanes, game one of the Stanley Cup Final. And they were down 2-0 after a pair of early goals from Nikolai Ehlers. 2-0, the deficit. Vegas came back 2-1 at the end of the first, took a 3-2 lead. It was tied at 4 late. Vegas netted one about 3 minutes to go, if I'm not mistaken, to win the game 5-4. Here's head coach John Tortorella on weathering the storm last night in Raleigh to a game one win.
Both teams, it's probably going to be that way through the whole series here, back and forth. Yeah, I just don't think I've told you guys since I've been with this team, it's a good team. We're a really good team. And I think we have a really good locker room. I think they understand these type of situations because they've lived through them. And they've won a lot of these guys. So that's what you rest on. It for me as a coach, I have all the confidence in the world. No matter where the flows go, we're not going to get into a panic mode by any means. We may not come back. We may lose a game. I don't know, but we're going to do it with. Not losing ourselves completely, because you can get really sloppy when you start panicking. I don't think there's going to be any panic in the team, no matter what happens in this series.
And certainly that was the case last night. Zero panic from Vegas as they find their way back out of a 2-0 hole on the road to a 5-4 win in game number one. That series continues Thursday night from Raleigh. Golden Knights at the Canes, 7 o'clock Thursday night on ABC. Carolina is a little bit more of a favorite in game two than they were in game one. Last night entered at -155. Right now at DraftKings Sportsbook, -162 to be precise on the puck line. Major League Baseball, Detroit beat Tampa yesterday 8-0. Cleveland scored a win against the Yankees 9-4. Kansas City did not. They lose in Cincinnati in extras 4-3. And the Minnesota Twins are on the warming plate, if you will, finding a way to win a second game in a row against the team they're immediately looking up at in the division. That's the White Sox.
Ground ball, third base, base hit. Bell, he's going to be waved around. Strong arm by the left fielder. Throw to the plate, and not in time. Ball skips away. So the Twins now up 6-3. Good slide by Bell.
6-4 would be the final yesterday. Twins taking the first two games of the series against the White Sox at Target Field. 29-33, the new record for Minnesota. White Sox had entered the series having won 5 straight, now losing 2 straight to the record of 32-29. Here's manager Derek Shelton on the overall pitching effort yesterday for his team.
Cutter did a good job. I mean, he settled back down. He had the tough inning, and then I think he went 3 10-pitch innings in a row, which, again, as we talk about signs of growth, that's a sign of growth. It's probably... I mean, I don't know. It's probably the first time he's ever pitched in the 7th inning in his professional career. Is that right? Yeah. So, I mean, I thought he did a really good job. And then, you know, Bonda comes in, gets a big punch out in the situation. Gomi comes in, gets a big punch out. And then Gomez there in the 9th having to go through, you know, Peters as a pinch hit and Vargas, who's as hot as just about anybody we've seen, and then get Montgomery. So, overall, was really pleased with our group.
And that's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Youngster Connor Prelip got his second win of the year. 2-3, the new record following yesterday's win. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, White Sox and the Twins do it again. Minnesota looking for the sweep. Noon pregame coverage, 12:40 the start time. Other games on the way, Tigers at Rays, Guardians at Yankees, Reds host the Royals, Brewers home to the Giants, Rangers at Cardinals, A's at Cubs, Rockies at Angels, the nightcap at 8:30. NFL news to get to, everybody reading into and reacting to the LA Rams. Lewis Riddick drawing some parallels between this team right now with the addition of Myles Garrett and with Aaron Donald's addition pending. What team does this remind him of?
What it reminds you of a little bit, when the Rams won Super Bowl 56, I believe it was, right back in the 21 season. Think about the defensive line that they had constructed back then, when Von Miller was there with Aaron Donald, with Leonard Floyd, you know, with A'shaun Robinson on the inside, and with Jalen Ramsey at the slot. That was a formidable, formidable defense, because they were so strong down the middle and could put your lights out when the game was on the line. This defense looks the same now. It looks the same. When you think about Kobe Turner on the inside, Braden Fiske on the inside, and then Myles Garrett on the outside. And then they have Byron Young, who led the team in sacks and pressures last year. It wasn't Jared Verse. It was Byron Young. And now they wind up bringing Aaron Donald back and adding that to the mix. Just think about it. I mean, I'm sure that Sean and Les are sitting there going, hey, man, we're really constructing a defense that looks very similar to the way we had it back in 21. And now that you have Trent McDuffie, who you can put in the slot position in sub-defense, look, this team's legit now.
Absolutely are in a heavy Super Bowl favorite relative to June 3rd. And we've seen in some time, of course, the Chiefs have had that dynastic run. The Patriots were a predictable Final Four team for a very long time. But now the Rams, a team that hasn't won the Super Bowl in 4 years, feels like a long time. Not really. Very similar roster, similar staff, etc. But the LA Rams, certainly a worthy Super Bowl favorite at this stage of the offseason. Evan Cohen talking about the Cleveland Browns, and he believes they're not really being truthful when it comes to one thing surrounding this trade.
Don't understand this. Do we realize, I may lose it on this, the question we've asked for months is now still the question we have to ask, even though Myles Garrett is on another team? Why did they restructure the contract if they never thought about trading him? Someone needs to tell me why both parties then restructured the contract if they're going to continue to claim, oh, we didn't plan on this. Of course you planned on this. You made it easier to make this happen. Why did they restructure the contract both ways?
And again, when it went down, the contract restructure, some people were saying, oh, that's interesting. Why would they do that? Kind of the Brian Windhorst meme. Well, that's interesting. Why would they do that? Well, the reason was, and the reason the trade went down exactly when it did, not the new league year, but post-June 1, is so the Browns can massage and move around some money into multiple cap years. Does it mean that the plan all along was for them to trade him? No, that doesn't necessarily mean that. But certainly that contract restructure makes the bed, if you will, opens the door, if you will, for a team to say, hey, here's our offer. What do you think? Let's start negotiations. And the Browns were listening, and they got the deal done. So anybody telling you the Browns weren't planning on it, you could say, okay, they might not have been planning on it, but they were listening to offers. They made the contract more flexible, and now he's no longer a member of the team. Myles Garrett, now a member of the L.A. Rams. Tennis updates on the scorecard today on the women's side from the French Open. Maya Swalinska, doing my best here, took down Anna Kalinskaya 7-6, 6-3. And then a major upset, Diana Schneider, the 25th seeded woman in the tournament, took down number one, Arina Sabalenka, three sets, 3-6, 7-6, 6-0. So Sabalenka, out. Swiatek, out. Anybody absurdly notable on the men's and women's side, out, except for Alexander Zverev, who is still alive in the men's side as of right now. So tomorrow morning on the women's side, we'll see 15 seed Marta Kostyuk take on 8 seed Mira Andreeva at 8 a.m. And then Schneider gets Maya Swalinska at 9:30. That'll solidify into the finals coming up over the weekend. Men's side yesterday, Zverev took care of Jodar 7-6, 6-1, 6-3. And Mensik over Fonseca 6-4, 6-3, 7-6. Right now, Felix Auger-Aliassime meeting up with Flavio Caboli. Gets you an update there. And then an all-Italian quarterfinal, Matteo Berrettini against Matteo Arnaldi, 1:15 this afternoon from Roland Garros. And lastly here, a reminder, D1 Softball World Series will get underway. Final two teams, Texas Tech and Texas, that'll get underway tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on ESPN for game one of the best of three series there for the D1 Softball World Series. Quick update there. Felix Auger-Aliassime and Caboli are tied a set apiece. Auger-Aliassime won set 1-6-4. Caboli set 2-6-4. Into the third set right now, True TV, TNT, HBO Max says the Canadian has a 2-1 game advantage in set number 3 over Francisco Caboli. Now, let's move on into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Big news down in Vermilion yesterday afternoon. University of South Dakota and Athletic Director John Schemmel officially announcing Shannon Pivovar as the next head coach of USD softball, the 11th head coach in program history. Pivovar joined USD and the coaching staff in the summer of 2023, has been an assistant coach for the last 3 years, was promoted to associate head coach last season, where she was an instrumental piece in the program's first ever conference title at any level, first ever tournament appearance, and tournament victory at the Lincoln Regional. Prior to her time at USD, Piv was the head coach at USF here in Sioux Falls from 2019 to 2023, where she logged 109 wins at the helm of the Cougar program, won at least 23 games in each of her 4 full seasons at USF, and coached 11 all NSIC performers with 6 earning first team honors, plus 2 NSIC gold glove recipients. She holds a career collegiate head coaching record of 109 and 113 in her 4 full seasons as a head coach. Congratulations to Shannon Pivovar, named USD softball head coach as of yesterday afternoon. You can find that article at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Hawkeye fans, take notice. The University of Iowa women's basketball team is not coming to Sioux Falls, but they'll be really darn close. They will face Vanderbilt in a neutral site contest in Sioux City next season. Tip-off set for Sunday, November 15th, inside the Tyson Event Center at 3 o'clock Central. Tickets will go on sale this Friday. Head on over to Hawkeyes.com for details. HawkeyeSports.com for details. Tickets on sale Friday. Ticketmaster, TysonCenter.com. Hawkeyes and Vanderbilt in Sioux City, Sunday, November the 15th. Other news to get to in your ReliaBank headlines of the day, hour number 2. Nebraska softball associate head coach and pitching coach Lori Sipple has announced her retirement as of yesterday. She played 4 years at Nebraska, served on the coaching staff for 37 years, including the finals 23 as associate head coach. 41 years with the program as a player and coach, he helped help the Huskers to nearly 1,500 wins, 18 conference titles, 26 tourney appearances, and 6 trips to the Women's College World Series. All the best in retirement to Lori Sipple there in Lincoln. And over to Ames after 24 years with Iowa State women's basketball, 31 years in coaching. Cyclones are losing an associate head coach, Jody Steyer, to retirement. Steyer announced her retirement recently with a statement on social media. In her time with Iowa State, she was part of 18 NCAA tournament appearances, a trip to the Elite Eight, 3 Sweet 16s, and a Big 12 tournament title. Steyer, a standout as a 4-year letter winner and starter at Colorado State, and certainly a very impactful associate head coach there in Ames on the staff of Coach Bill Fennelly. That news at Cyclones.com. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. As always, for a better local banking option for you and yours, check them out in person, the 605, or online at ReliaBank.com. When we come back, time to talk about what happened last night in the NHL Stanley Cup Final. Time to talk about what happens tonight in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Preview, recap, odds, and more coming up next on a Wednesday, June 3rd edition of Overtime.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's Wednesday, June 3rd. Just about time to talk NBA, NHL. What happened last night in the Stanley Cup Final? What's going to happen in the NBA Finals as they get off the ground tonight from San Antonio? That game starts 7:30 on ABC. Coverage here on ESPN Sioux Falls begins at 6:30 right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. Have you made your way out to your local Quickstar yet this week? Life is busy. Quickstar gets that. From fresh coffee to Tate Street Bakery treats and grab-and-go meals, Quickstar is your one-stop shop for variety, quality, and fast service. Need gas? They got fully guaranteed fuel that keeps you moving. Plus, enjoy free ATMs, free air for your tires, clean restrooms every time. They're here to make your life easier. Fresh groceries, easy meals, and service with a smile. Quickstar, where your day gets better. See you next time at your local Quickstar. And speaking of next time, take advantage of this great offer. My family, ice cream crazy, especially this time of year. Every day, my kids are begging for ice cream daddy, ice cream daddy. Let's head on out. Step into something delicious right now with Quickstar's Heartland Ice Cream, the newest scoop in the Nature's Touch ice cream family. There are 12 different flavors to discover, and you could maybe discover the Golden Scoop. You can grab a pint for just $3.99 before your first bite. Look for the Golden Scoop. If you find it, you could win an ice cream factory tour, fun merchandise, and free ice cream for a year. That's right. Find the Golden Scoop at Quickstar in the Heartland Ice Cream. Ice cream for a year, fun merch, ice cream factory tour, every scoop magically sweeter. Details at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. Well, last night in the NHL Stanley Cup Final, Game 1 for 3 playoff rounds, the Hurricanes were bludgeoning opponents into bad decisions during their 12-1 run on their way to the Stanley Cup Final. But in Game 1 last night, the Vegas Golden Knights' relentless pressure put the Canes on their heels and left searching for answers following a really tough loss, an energetic, energy-draining loss last night, 5-4. They forced us into mistakes, and we didn't handle pressure particularly well. Sometimes there wasn't pressure, and we made a few poor decisions with the puck, and they capitalized. That's according to Carolina coach and one-time Carolina Stanley Cup hero, Rod Brind'Amour. It was a historic win for Vegas entering last night. This is a crazy stat. Road teams, especially in the sport of hockey, entering last night, road teams were 0-55 when down multiple goals at any point in a Stanley Cup Final Game 1. Carolina held a 2-0 lead after just 12 minutes of the first period. They got on the board less than a minute into the game. Nikolai Ehlers finding his way on a little sprint out and netting one quickly For Carolina, Canes made uncharacteristic errors throughout the game, including on Thomas Hertl's game-winning goal at 16:36 to the third. Defenseman Shane Gostomir lost Hertl as the Knights forward moved to the slot and beat goalie Frederick Anderson, giving Vegas the eventual margin of victory to their credit. And I think that Canes fans can take a lot of solace in this. To their credit last night, Carolina never quit. They even had a good look at the goal with just about 2-3 seconds left after a face-off. Carolina is a damn good team. They're not going anywhere. Surprising result, disappointing result, sure, especially with a 2-0 lead early on. But that team fought to the very bitter end last night, and I like their chances remaining in that series. Game number two coming up on Thursday. Carolina a little bit more of a favorite in that game than they were last night. Minus 162 this morning on the puck line. Other hockey news to get to before we get you a little NBA Finals preview on the way. The Nashville Predators are hiring Colorado Avalanche general manager Chris McFarland as their new president of hockey operations and general manager. The Avs had granted permission to their division rival to speak to McFarland. Predators have been searching for a GM since February when Barry Trotz announced he was stepping aside after 3 years in the role. McFarland gets a promotion with the president of hockey operations role. Trying to compete in the tough Central will not be easy. Puckpedia projects McFarland and the Predators to have $27.2 million in available cap space to address roster that finished 4 points behind the Kings for the second and final Western Conference wild card spot. Nashville has missed the playoffs in 3 of their last 4 years. Zach Werenski of the Columbus Blue Jackets has won the Norris Trophy, given annually to the NHL's top all-around defenseman. Werenski topped fellow finalist Cale Makar of the Avs and Rasmus Dahlin of the Sabres. Makar, who won the award last year, was in the running for the third for his third Norris Trophy. This is the first time for Werenski, who was the runner-up to Makar just last year. And lastly, from the NHL, you gotta love this news. The NHL All-Star Weekend will have an international hockey flair and flavor after the success of the Four Nations face-off and the Winter Olympics. The 2027 Midseason Classic, which is scheduled for February 5th and 6th at UBS Arena in Elmont, New York, will feature teams representing Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the United States. That's the four that were in the Four Nations face-off. And they'll have a quote-unquote world team comprising international players from countries outside of those four. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly confirmed that Russian players will be permitted on the world team despite an uncertain status for other international hockey events. UBS Arena scheduled to host the 2026 NHL All-Star Game. That was changed due to an international event as the league decided to allow its players to compete in the Winter Olympics in Italy. But I can't tell you enough how much sense this makes, in particular in the sport of hockey. The NBA has a little bit of that. The NFL pretty much non-existent in terms of international flair and flavor and prominence that they could mix in to their Pro Bowl games, Pro Bowl, whatever they're calling it these days. But in the NHL, there's a very strong contingent of American players, and American hockey is at its richest point that we've ever had it, it seems, right now, in popularity, in success on the global stage, etc. Now, our neighbors to the north, that's a natural rivalry. That's amazing. Now, our neighbors out there, Scandinavian countries out there in Europe as well, mix that all in. There's a lot of pride at stake here. And you talk about the players expressing, we want best on best. We want to play for our countries. And this is going to be great because, frankly, the uniqueness of that sport, the fact that it is an American league of the best players internationally, and a good portion, I don't know the exact percentage, but the good portion of the league is not from the United States. So it makes a lot of sense to play for things like your country instead of, oh, I'm playing for the Western Conference. I'm playing for the Eastern Conference. That doesn't mean as much as, oh, I get to suit up for my country middle of the season in a meaningful game that is also an exhibition, but it'll be pretty darn fun for everybody to soak in on. And in addition to that, it's just really darn great for the NHL broadly internationally to put this on display, to give those Swedes and Finns and something to, and Canadians something to watch and something to root for at this stage outside of the typical regular season of the National Hockey League. Pretty cool stuff available at ESPN.com. Other news. Let's get into the talk for the NBA Finals tonight. Game number one. The Knicks have listed Mitchell Robinson as questionable. And we heard from Vince Goodwill, both hour one and hour two. He thinks he is likely to play just based on the magnitude of the game one. Mitchell Robinson questionable for game one as the center has undergone surgery to address a broken pinky finger. Just last week, ESPN's Shams Charania reported yesterday that Robinson remains, quote, resolute in his desire to play in game one. But the seven-footer must officially be cleared by the Knicks training staff. Robinson fractured the fifth metacarpal bone in his right hand, participated in light shooting and dribbling drills during an open practice at NBA Finals Media Day on Tuesday. So that's a story to watch. You know, Mitchell Robinson is not going to be a star or the star, the reason why the Knicks win a game or the series. But certainly you want all the ammo you can get, all the players you can get, and all the health you can get in the matchup against Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. Pretty cool, all extensive preview of things available. Depending upon what angle you want to look at, head on over to ESPN.com. They got the players ranked, I believe it's 1 through 30, in the NBA Finals. The spoiler alert, the Spurs have 6 of the top 10, so not an over advantage. But the Knicks have 3 of the top, or 2 of the top 3, and 3 of the top 5. So interesting stuff there. But here we go in terms of the regular season series. That, to me, makes a lot of sense to look back on. But December, a long time ago, Knicks took the first game between the two, 124-113. Game two was New Year's Eve, where the Spurs won in a scoring fiesta, 134-132. And the Knicks took the most recent game, 114-89, back on March the 1st. You know, the Knicks defense suffocating in those games, forcing 21 turnovers, allowing the Spurs to shoot just 41%. We'll see how it goes down, but through three games this year, head-to-head, Knicks an advantage 2-1. They've also got written up here how the Spurs will beat the Knicks. It all starts and ends with Wembanyama. No, really? Although the series begins in San Antonio, it's worth pointing out just how much Wemby loves to perform under the bright lights in the celebrity-laden atmosphere at MSG. That is without a doubt the one big story for San Antonio. How good can Wemby be? How great can he be? You hear the adage of, well, he's going to get his. We just got to solve everybody else. I don't care. If I'm the Spurs, I feed Wemby until they can't handle it anymore. 41 points, 20 rebounds. Let's get after it for Victor Wembanyama. Now on the other side, how the Knicks will beat the Spurs. New York must bottle up what helped it steamroll through the East bracket. It hasn't been just the Jalen Brunson show. Although he gets a lion's share of the credit, every starter has had their moment in the playoffs, and the Knicks spreading it around, certainly a good thing. They got to be multiple, versatile, and find a way to slow down Wemby while limiting those ancillary pieces. And I don't mean to call them ancillary as saying they're not good, but ancillary pieces, the non-Wemby pieces of the San Antonio Spurs. Game number one tonight, 7:30 on ABC. Our coverage here on ESPN Radio begins at 6:30 right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll stick with the round ball talk. We'll focus in on the Minnesota Timberwolves, but before we go there, we are going to get a pick and prognostication from Evan Dilling, who covers the T-Wolves for the Daily Wolves, on the series, on game one, what he expects to see and who he would like to win it all between the Spurs and the Knicks. Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves joins us as we say so long to an early Wednesday edition of Overtime next, right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up an early Wednesday edition of Overtime. We were on the air early at 10, getting off the air at noon, making way for those Minnesota Twins, breaking out the broom, we hope, to those Chicago White Sox. 12:40, the start time from Target Field this afternoon. Listen to all the action right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Time to talk Minnesota Timberwolves. They bowed out of the postseason relatively recently. Another nice year for them. And we'll recap the year, talk about the finals a bit, also the fallout from the Karl Anthony Towns trade, and more as we welcome in our friend Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves right back to the ESPN hotline. Evan, welcome into the show. How you doing this week, my friend?
Doing great, man. I can't wait to watch the NBA Finals Game 1 tonight. And, man, and it's fun to see Karl Anthony Towns in there. He deserves it, man.
And certainly I wanted to talk to you about that here in just a moment. But first things first, offer me up your take. Who wins this thing? How long does it go? What are the storylines you're watching? Do you get any joy out of watching Wemby? Or have you started to maybe get a little edgy and might be considered a Wemby hater? Because I know it might be fading off a bit because early on Wemby was extraordinarily likable, and now people might not be feeling necessarily all two sunshines and rainbows with Wemby. Where do you stand on this, and how long does this series go?
Yeah, so I think I have the series going six games. I think I have the Spurs winning in six. Mm-hmm. I'm cheering for the Knicks. I want to get that straight for everyone listening. I stated that before. I love Karl-Anthony Towns, but obviously we're biased. He's from here, right? Or he played here, I guess, for most of his career. But I just think the West is so stacked. I really just do believe, regardless of whether it was the Thunder or the Spurs to win in the last series, they were going to beat the Knicks. And I just think they just have so much talent in the West right now. And it's no hate on the Knicks, but their path to the finals was significantly easier than going through the Western Conference bloodbath that we saw. On the Wemby point, it's interesting because you're right. Like, he was a fan favorite. He was just this amazing, well-spoken, different character that came into the NBA. And he was loved by a lot of different people. And I think the flopping, the stuff that you saw in the Minnesota series, stuff you saw in the Oklahoma City series, I think you finally started to see Wemby and Castle. You've seen it from him a little bit. Some other guys, like, they're learning how to adjust their game to get whistles right now, and they're learning from, unfortunately, the Oklahoma City Thunder, it seems like, where if you can't beat them, join them. And I think that is one of the things that I don't love about Wemby's game, and I lost slight respect for that. Mm-hmm. But, and that's anybody, right? I mean, even if Ant tomorrow started doing that, the same thing would happen to Anthony Edwards if he started doing that. It's one thing why his game is so special is because the Timberwolves don't flop. They don't do those things. And why, you know, it's just fun that Oklahoma City isn't in the finals, because it's just unfortunate when that kind of basketball is rewarded in some value, man.
And certainly is true in certain regards there. Let's talk about the Karl-Anthony Towns trade. It's still too early to decide who won the trade. Let me be clear on that. But in your mind, retrospectively, how do you kind of assess that trade? Karl-Anthony Towns, Dante DiVincenzo, Julius Randle, mm-hmm. in regards to what the T-Wolves got and who they are, and what the Knicks got and who they are right now. How do you kind of assess things right now in regards to that trade retrospectively?
I think if Dante DiVincenzo doesn't get hurt in the playoffs this year, like, everything has changed, because he was playing at his best in the playoffs. He was amazing in the Nuggets series before he got hurt. Like, just amazing. And to close the year, I thought this season, just in general, Dante was a huge part of the Timberwolves, and you really got to see how valuable he was. And he led the team in plus-minus all season long. So I think if he doesn't get hurt, that Spurs series is way different. Obviously, if Ant's healthy, it's different as well. And then I think Randle, he just had a horrendous playoff run this year. But before that, it wasn't so bad since he's been in Minnesota. So I think, like, right now, when people look at the trade, they think the Knicks won the trade because of all those things. Just the fact that Cat is in the finals, the Wolves aren't, how bad Randle played. But again, I think a lot of those things are overshadowed on those, just the slim stuff from the playoffs that we saw. I think at the end of the day, I have it as a win-win for both teams. I think Minnesota had to make a move. Carl's going to be making $57 million going into next season, and that's just, you just can't have that when you have all these guys that you're paying, with Jaden, Nas kicking in with a new contract, Rudy, Randle, like, all these players, man. And so you had to do it, and that's, every team is going to get hit with this. The second apron, they're going to get hit by this. You're going to start seeing it with the Thunder, the Spurs, Boston, the Warriors got hit already. Like, you're going to see these things happen, and teams are going to have to make tough trades. I think they did really good for what they got. They got Julius Randle on a really good contract right now that you can move. You have Dante on one of the best contracts in the NBA. And then you got Johan Berenguer in the deal too. They got a pick, and they ended up drafting him. So I think Minnesota, and you look back, it's a win-win. And at the end of the day, Bert, this trade was all along, I think this trade was about Julius Randle being a rental and a flip in a different trade down the line, and I think Tim Connelly knew that. I think the real trade was we wanted Dante DiVincenzo for the long term on that amazing contract. We love how he fits the team. We're after him, not Randle. And we want that first-round pick, which ended up being really good. I think Randle the whole time was going to be used in the future to facilitate some kind of a deal, man.
And certainly it's interesting to look back at it now, especially after what might happen here in a bit if Karl-Anthony Towns and the Knicks are able to get the job done here in the NBA Finals. We're talking Timberwolves and more. Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the Daily Wolves. And it's very important nowadays because we're entering the offseason. A lot of articles, updates, podcasts out about financial flexibility, future of the roster. What is ideal to pair with Anthony Edwards and supporting cast? Who might be ideal moving forward? As you talk about Ant, what makes the most sense for him for the next 3, 4, 5 years as far as players and supporting surrounding cast?
I would say like most what you want from him is players that can spread the floor for sure. Shooters, I think you saw with Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert, the lack of that, and then they clogged the paint. I think Ant needs that open so he can drive to the hoop more. I also think having a stretch big, somebody that Ant, if he does choose to drive, he can flip it out to that big, right? And I also think if you don't go that route, you need a amazing ball handler around Anthony Edwards. I think Kyrie Irving is a perfect player that you could bring in for the Timberwolves this offseason, or at least take a look at. He's somebody you can take the pressure off Ant in these big moments. You've seen it this playoff series. You saw it in the season, and especially last year against the Oklahoma City Thunder. When Anthony Edwards crosses the floor, and he's not even across the floor most of the time now, but they send doubles, triples right at Ant all the time. And those are when the turnovers are occurring and the high-level pressure. And that takes so much fatigue on Anthony Edwards. I think just having another player that could go out there, make Ant go into his natural position, which is the two, the shooting guard position, it would just be amazing for the Wolves. A ball handler would probably be ideal. And then obviously getting a little bit of the paint unclogged by probably moving a big or something.
Evan Dilling's our guest of the Daily Wolves. You can find that podcast wherever you get yours, The Daily Wolves. Evan, last time we had you on a few months ago, we talked about the revelation of Ayo Dosunmu, how good he's been, the game-breaking ability he's got. He is rated as a top five available undrafted free agent league-wide this offseason. What would you give me as far as a likelihood of a return to Minnesota for Ayo? And also, what do you like the most about his near-term, long-term future if he does return to Minnesota?
Yeah, I think with Ayo, he's very sought after this free agency. He's going to be probably a top 5 to 7 free agent this offseason, and he's going to be entering his prime soon. So every single team is going to want Ayo Dosunmu on their team. And I expect most teams to at least inquire about him just because he fits every single roster. He's a defender. He can handle the ball. He's shown more ability to score that he didn't show in Chicago with Minnesota. He has the mid-range game that he has. He's so fast in transition, and he plays defense and hustles. Like, every team wants that. He's been amazing. His value's gone up for sure. I think when Minnesota made the deal for Ayo Dosunmu, what I would say is they wanted their guy, and they don't just want him now. They envision him for the future with the trade. So if I was a Timberwolves fan and I was listening to this right now, I would not be concerned at all. That's what I would tell you. Do not be concerned. I think the Timberwolves are going to end up re-signing Ayo. They want him. GM has come out and said openly that they want him. And in the past, his track record, when Tim Connelly says he wants somebody, he gets his guy. Mm-hmm. And they have him on a restricted free agency. They can match any deal that any team gives him. So Minnesota, I think, is going to get Ayo Dosunmu back. I'd put it at like a 90% chance he comes back. I think he's going to resign for around $17 million to $20 million a year is what I predict, Bird, just to give people an idea.
Lastly here, Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves wrapping up our Timberwolves-based conversation, looking ahead to the offseason, which is going to be here before we know it. T-Wolves are already in it. Two teams remaining. NBA Finals begin tonight. On the offseason wish list, let me clarify here real quick with you, Evan. The wish list is not just who you'd like to bring in, but also could be, I'd like to trade this player out for this or that or the other, draft-wise, etc. What is on your offseason wish list for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Evan?
So I got sign Io DeSumo, of course. We just talked about that, which I think they'll get done. I have trade Randall at all costs as my number two. And why I say that is not because I hate Julius Randle by any means. He did a lot of great things, but I think how the season ended, I think actually around the trade deadline is where it got a little bit funky for Julius Randle when he was in trade talks and heard his name mentioned. And I know that that kind of rattled feathers, you know, with the team. You know, he's a human being at the end of the day. He felt some feelings towards that, and that's just how it is, right? You could say these athletes make a lot of money. They shouldn't feel those things, but everybody's human at the end of the day. But I think how Julius Randle didn't show up, he was the only player on the Wolves who didn't show up for an exit interview, like different things in the locker room for the playoffs, the body language, just how he went out at the end of the year. Like, I think if you bring him back, you potentially could have something not so good in the locker room. That's why right now I'm at trade Randle at all costs. I have Gobert as well to trade. Which a lot of fans might be like, why trade Rudy? He played at a defensive player of the year level this last year. I think right now the only reason I would trade Gobert and why he's on my wish list, Bert, is because his value right now is so high. I would sell high on Gobert just because of his age. If he falls off, you lose this ability. Right now, he could. I wouldn't be surprised if two first-round picks came back for Rudy Gobert in some kind of a deal. That's how high I think Gobert is right now. It's just risky. He could get hurt. And again, his age, if he falls off, I would just move Gobert, see what you can do here. Then I have Giannis Antetokounmpo over everything. And just figure it out. I'm a big, big believer in Giannis. I think he's one of the top three or four best players in the NBA always. You got a shot to make the playoffs, and you pair him with Anthony Edwards, another guy who's anywhere from 5 to 7, in my opinion, of players in the NBA. They would be dynamic together. And I think I've watched tape of Giannis and Wemby, and I think Giannis is one of the guys who can guard Victor Wembanyama, who can go at him. And I think that is something, if you're targeting, how do I beat them in the future? Like, Giannis is just dominant. And I'm not concerned about his health. He wants to win at all costs. You see how much he tried to come back and play with Milwaukee. I think giving a player that cares so much about the game and pairing him with your team, especially with Ant, I think that's what Anthony Edwards needed. He's the complete opposite of what we saw from Julius Randle and guys that, you know, had, like, maybe not always the best intentions of winning at certain times and the motivation. You never have to question Giannis. He's always going to wear his heart on his sleeve and go 110% in these big moments. I have go after Kyrie Irving as a plan B. And then, the last thing I want to say to Wolves fans is Tim Connelly always goes for players that no one sees coming. So I would not be surprised if a trade goes across anybody's phone screens from Shams and it's just a random star trade and nobody saw it coming and it wasn't leaked or talked about.
Certainly a big offseason ahead in the NBA and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Couple trades out, maybe a trade or two in. This all on the table. Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves, our guest. Find that podcast wherever you get yours, The Daily Wolves. Evan, thanks a bunch as always, my friend. We'll do it again real soon.
Sounds good. Anytime, man.
All right. That's Evan Dilling of the Daily Wolves, tagged in today's show log. You can follow him on Twitter. Stay up to date in what is going to be a very busy and entertaining offseason. Big questions locally. Io DeSumo, future of Randle, future of Gobert, etc. And then regionally, nationally, Giannis, LeBron, and others. Lastly, before we say so long to the show, we got about 30 seconds here. Minnesota Vikings have officially introduced their new general manager, Nolan Teasley, as of today. During the presser, it became clear that Teasley is running the show and Rob Brzezinski is back. The Will family adding that Teasley and Kevin O'Connell will both report directly to ownership, independent of one another, and Brzezinski will report to Teasley. Interesting structure there for Minnesota, worth noting. We'll dive a little deeper into that tomorrow on the Thursday edition of the show. We'll talk to you then when Overtime is back in the saddle tomorrow right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.